If you listen and enjoy our show, we're in the middle of a fundraising drive. So if you could go to thebillshow.net, go and press the patron button, you can sponsor us. And that would help pay for stuff. Click the patron button. You'll be glad you did. You'll get a nice warm feeling down in the bottom of the cockles of your heart. And now, on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, again to the Bill Show Lounge. I was just listening to my friend Dave just pop by the Bill Show Lounge. Hey, Bill, you sing pretty well, man.
Hey, thanks, brother.
You got like the coolest job of all my friends. David's been he's a stand-up comic, written for television. He's an actor, writer. But one of the coolest things that you do is you get to dress in a tux and do that
and sing cool songs as a job. That is the best job in the world.
I know. It's just like, man, it's like see you singing those songs, it's like I don't know you.
And the thing is, you know, like at my age, you know, you go out, you drink, you sing, and then
you go to bed at 10 o'clock.
You get to 9:30 and you go, it's time to go home.
Go to your Panadol.
I'm feeling sore in the hip.
Why is the music so loud? Guys, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bill Show Lounge. This is a kind of show when you're not doing a show. And we're, of course, it's the closed up here at the Bill Show Studios, and Frank and the band are over there, and they're playing a little something. And I just invited my friend Dave to have a drink with us. So, Dave, say hello to the people.
Hey, people, how are you?
See, we wouldn't love that guy. Dave, we've been kind of talking. You've listened to our show a few times. You know what we deal with, don't you?
Oh, very much. I'm loving the show, Bill. I'm loving a psychic.
Yeah, you think it's too bitter?
I don't know. In some parts of town, they call you Angus Stewart. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I got to work out some anger issues.
I hope you don't.
I hope you don't.
That's so much fun to listen to, Bill. Your issues.
It's like watching De Niro. You know? I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want to go for his lawn and piss on his ashes.
And that's for breakfast.
Yeah, that's for breakfast. By the way, that was metaphorical. I'm not dangerous. Yeah, it's metaphorical, Dave. I'd never do anything.
Does that have a melody line, Bill?
No, it doesn't. It was like I'd never be naughty or anything like that. So yeah, you listen to us talk about Trump a lot. You as an Australian, how do you view our 45th president?
No, look, he's. I think you can say that he's had a colourful life, Bill. He's an interesting character. I think one person in Australian politics, reasonably high up, said that he's batshit crazy. And that person may well be the next Prime Minister of Australia.
That's Bill Shorten. The guy is probably
interesting. Labor. Interesting to. He doesn't really describe how I view Donald Trump. But then again, he does speak highly of my work.
Do you know Trump, do you?
Gratefully, no.
Gratefully, no. I know. I just find it that as an Australian, you know, I mean, it's like I kind of view it as kind of like all of our friends are really kind of...
Aghast.
Aghast. Oh, my God. I defined it once on the show. I sat there and said, it's like your best friend... got really, he's on acid and he insists on driving. And you're in the back seat, and I was like, no, it's all right, I can drive. Everything's going to be fine. And we're going, get the keys off of him.
Back to the Future.
It is.
That guy's got the almanac.
You said it.
The casino.
You said it today. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, look at Back to the Future 2. Because we were sitting here thinking about this, because this is just us talking over a drink here, but. Back to the Future 2, man. It's Trump.
It's Trump.
But there's no way back. There's
no way back.
Right. Bring out the winged creature. There is no way back.
Wouldn't it be very funny if Trump was in the middle of a rally sometime and to a kid in an 80s look jumpsuit and a crazy doctor. Oh my God, Marty! This is because your father didn't meet your mother at the right time.
Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened. Listen, we always kind of like to want to comment on the day's news, Dave. And you were a stand-up comic. You wrote with me on television. You did some writing on television.
A long time ago.
A long time ago.
But it was a beautiful time when we did write.
It was.
We had material that was banned across the nation.
That's right. The writers' conferences were funnier than the show. Trust me, because we were on
if the Rat Pack had the best show after the show that they played in Vegas, everybody had the best show in the bar. Before the conference.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
They had all these people who were standing around trying to use the best line available without giving away the best material they had because that was part of the pitch. But everybody just holding back, just going, I'm funnier than you are.
Yeah, those cutthroat days in the comedy scene in Melbourne was like top up here. And I just stand up around the time, and this guy... Funny guy.
And we worked a lot together.
Because we had fun.
We had and we did have a lot of fun. Yeah. But the scene was completely different to what it is now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's just a way things progress.
Mm. Oh, no, it isn't. Plus, you get older.
I know.
Have you noticed that? What the fuck happened?
This getting old business ain't what it all cracked up to be. Well, it's cracking, but it's not good cracking, you know.
I've gotten to the point, right? Because you're going to be. We were talking about this, and we're going to share it with the audience because you know you're our friends, and Dave, these guys are okay, so you can talk in front of them. But basically, you're going to be 60, and I'm going to be 60. Now, all our friends out there are over 60 going, shut the fuck up. But for us, it's kind of like, whoa, 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 what the fuck happened, you know? It's like, oh, what the fuck happened? The
precipice is approaching, and it's just like,
yeah. Because you were alive at a time when you were growing up around 11 to 12, you know, back in those days, people died at fucking 62, you know? It's like, oh, wait a minute. Anything begins with a 60. I remember Uncle Ted in 1978. Oh, he didn't look good for a while there. You know, fucking with your head.
I survived two uncles, both who were alcoholic and both who died before they were 60. So I've outlived siblings of my parents.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of lifestyle.
You're healthy.
Not taking up the opportunity to own a pub did help the fact that I didn't become an alcoholic.
That's right. Because there's nothing worse when you own your pub. You see it. You see the guy that's on that stool, you know.
And that was the thing.
Since 1974.
You never drank with anyone. Yeah. Unless you drink with one person, you've got to drink with a pub.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was much more interested in performing.
Yeah.
But, look, it's really strange to see where the world is going these days as far as just performance goes. There is so much in line that is not to do with anything other than just distraction. And the whole, like Trump getting into the Twitter war with everybody. With Taylor Swift.
Seriously,
you're the president.
Yeah, really, seriously. As Abraham Lincoln once tweeted, that Taylor Swift is a no good bitch. I remember he said that, you know, 47 years ago. That floozy Taylor Swift, you know, I mean, you don't hear that kind of stuff come from the great presidents, do you?
Yeah, so how I view, I don't speak everybody in Australia, but a lot of people I know just find Trump to be someone who is not really anybody that you look at and just go, top guy.
No, he's a cunt. Yeah. I know, yeah,
You're so ill.
No, I've said this on the show before. Seriously, guys.
Bill, it's your show.
It's my show, and there is a language warning. The man's a cunt. Just like he, if you look under C in the dictionary, go to that.
There is a diagram
of this guy. In fact, I want to play for you something. You know, this, my opinion, is actually reinforced by Billy Connolly. I'm going to play you this little thing that I have found is it's all right to call him that ever since I found this clip. I'm going to play it for you now, all right? All right, here it is.
I look forward to it, Bill.
Yeah, here it is. Wait a minute. Through the magic of radio, you guys are going to hear it right away. Here it is.
And I walked in the first day, and there was a guy in the doorway, a sort of down-and-out homeless guy. He had a cup, and he said, any change? And I had loads. I said, I've got loads here. Thanks, buddy. No problem. I went in, had a coffee, and got the Homeless magazine, which has two great crosswords in it. So I went back to my hotel to do the crosswords. My life is a ball of fire. Second day, exactly the same. Thanks, buddy. Coffee, magazine, back home. Third day, thanks, buddy. No problem. Coffee, magazine, back home. On the fourth day, I didn't wait for him to ask. I just put money in his cup. And he says, you don't have to give me money every time you see me. I said, I'm quite aware of that. You little cunt. I thought he had it coming. Fuck him. It's not a word they use usually, especially over on that side of the Atlantic. It frightens the bejesus out of them. Although they take motherfucker like nothing happened. But being from a Glaswegian, I'm used to it, you know. That doesn't really mean anything. You know, you use it in all sorts of circumstances. You try to remember a film star's name. People are giving you all sorts of names. You say, no, 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 him, some other kind. I actually heard in Glasgow, who's that cunt with the Pope? And they don't seem to realise you don't need to be a complete cunt. You can break it up anyway. What do you think of the Prime Minister? He seems a bit of a cunt to me. And he does, but before... But just close your eyes and think of Donald Trump. Now there's a cunt.
Yeah, that's my attitude.
Man, seriously. I started work and you even think about using that word and you are not working for a long time. I'm glad that we have a scotch here just to settle
on. I know, I'm sorry. Wait, I actually believe that Billy Connolly's right. I'm sorry, there's a certainly. That explains the show, you know, it just keeps going and going and going and going.
It does ring true, Bill.
Because it's a ring of hatred that never ends.
I must say, the energy that one gains from hatred is a bottomless pit, and in some cases, that can be a very advantageous thing.
Would you now tell me something? If you were in America and you were thinking of who would be, they start talking about, you know, who's going to be on the side of politics, and I know you know a little bit about politics, but.
Who's going to pick up the gauntlet and run with it?
And, you know, supposing we do get to...
Surely, the NRA would be championing the Kennedy family.
For target practice, of course.
No, for a good reason to keep people safe.
Yeah. But, I mean, most people look at... Because everything in politics here is kind of, like, very sane, you know?
Here.
Yeah.
In Australia.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. No, no, they're not.
In comparison to America, come on. You guys are like the farm team of crazy. You're not even close. We own you. We are the craziest fucking country on the earth.
Have you listened to England lately? I'm thinking that maybe the idea that it's a baton that's passed regularly.
Yeah, that's true. Seems to happen to the people who are in charge for a while.
It's all the white guys. Yeah, come on, just get there.
It's just white guys, man.
It's
it?
Just a stupid ass white guy.
I'm a
genre.
White guy, you know.
As a genre, sure. Theresa May, she's a white guy.
She is. Margaret Thatcher, white guy. Definite white guy. Even if they're women, they're kind of white guys. Hillary, kind of a white guy.
It wasn't so much a platform show, you know what I'm saying?
That's but
there
true.
The places that Westminster and the Republic, white Republic rules, is in the greatest trouble. And you can put France in that as well. There's also, that was a white Republic, and so was America's a white Republic. The Westminster system in Australia and England is absolutely on its knees because of the balance is so finely tipped that no one side can actually have a progressive idea of where to take the policy.
Yeah, but that's true. But in America, you have this imperial presidency where...
Called Darth.
Darth Vader. Yes, I am your... Now, you know something? Darth Vader... I was reading this book, and actually, this is going off, but Darth Vader's...
Are you going off on a tangent, Bill?
I'm
Do we need music for this?
No, you don't.
A long time ago.
Trump isn't Darth Vader. Darth Vader's intelligent.
It was 1970.
Many moons come, Charlton. No, I'm telling you, man, I sit there as I watch my friends in Australia slowly wonder what's going on. But yeah, we have health care here, man.
Here we do. We do have that. They are trying to repeal that and drag it back so that you have health insurance companies that look after your welfare better than you can.
Yeah, that's why.
Because we know how to do that.
Mm.
Have you met our accountant, Bob? He'll tell you.
Yes, I know. We just got rid of a conservative government here in Australia. And I believe these guys are the home team of...
Only on a state level. It wasn't on a federal level. We still have a liberal conservative on the federal level.
But not for long.
That may well
not
be
for
true.
Long. I mean, this is the same party that Tony Abbott belonged to. Now, Tony Abbott, ladies and gentlemen...
Captain Wingnut.
Captain Wingnut. Captain Wingnut, or Budgie Smuggler, as we call him, was so fucking awful that... John Oliver in the United States did a piece on our prime minister, who is a dickhead. And his party is still in power now, but it's not going to happen for long. It's not for long.
They keep on finding Caesar.
Every time I see them on television here, I kind of get, you know, you get in that kind of Green Mile kind of thing. Dead man walking. Dead man walking. Bad man walking.
They had a progressive leader who was stymied by the far right of the conservative right of the Liberal Party, and he was ousted because they wanted the conservative right wanted to take over the power, but they were stymied by the conservative middle ground, or the moderates as they're called, and it was just they've turned themselves into as much as a laughing stock as possible. Within the space of one term of a government, which here is only 3 years, which is stupid.
Mm.
Like, state-wise, it's four. It should be four, so you can get something done. I actually think it should be 5 years if you're going to be able to do something with, you know, forward thinking and be able to bring something to fruition. You really need to have enough time to actually put it into place.
I'm very, very, in our state level, we actually have a Labor government came in. And I swear to God, if you were to really construct what the Democratic platform should be in future federal elections or future state elections all across America, it was exactly what he was advocating. Infrastructure, health care, education.
And the only opposition... platform really was crime and accountability.
Oh, there are blacks running the streets.
Well,
this guy came up with a thing that there was an ethnic minority of Africans that were evidently...
And they were gangs.
There were gangs going after white women everywhere.
People were afraid to go out to restaurants at night.
Oh, my God. You familiar with this?
People would be sitting in a restaurant tweeting, haven't been really worried tonight, caught the tram in, having a lovely, you know, Chardonnay.
But you think, you know, the thing is that the truth really is that Donnie's shtick isn't original. It's being done all over the world by the same right-wing guys.
The one thing that Trump has been able to do is he has been able to embolden the far-right dog-whistling because he is the leader of the, you know, supposed leader of the free world, that then gives other people the right to then up, just, well, the chutzpah to actually stand up. They got enough chutzpah as it is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's emboldened people to be able to say things and do things, like Duterte in the Philippines, and now that guy in Brazil. And the rise of the right throughout Europe, particularly Germany, Sweden, Norway, it's a political response to shit that was really created so far back. I shouldn't go back any further because it's a conversation all to the side of
when England first started once upon a time Zane, and America came in to help them build the Mile High Gun. Remember that, boys and girls? That came off really well, didn't it? That's right, that was called the first Gulf War.
This will be in the first in a series of the most depressing podcasts you will ever listen to.
And then they burnt Kuwait.
Good night, children. Well, it's about 20 minutes, mate. Listen, what are you doing? You're
doing around town, and I've got an album out there, David Cotter and the Jazznicks.
David Cotter and the Jazznicks.
Yeah,
and you will love it. It's a great iTunes album.
It's a lot of genre bending stuff and stuff that you wouldn't hear in that way. But also do the Dean stuff. Do a regular down in South Melbourne on a Friday night.
Because you found the joy of all that kind of. Dean Martin, Frank
Dean
Sinatra,
Sammy Davis Jr., all that stuff, the Rat Pack stuff.
Who's your favorite? If you had to listen to anyone, was it Dean?
Oh yeah, to a certain look. To be honest, there is no one favorite. I mean, there are certain things that I love in each of the voices, and it pains me to say, but Frank has probably got the cleanest voice.
Frank.
But as a youngster, Bobby Darin was one who was about to come through and unfortunately died. But the overall entertainer, I think, has to be Sammy. Because of what he could do, what he achieved, and what he actually was talent-wise. Like, he was head and shoulders. Sure, up to the armpits, but he was head and shoulders above talent-wise of everybody who was in front of him. But Dean, as a younger man, had the most beautiful voice. Nat King Cole was particularly special. And, like, he to me was sort of like the voice of the 20th century, crooner-wise. But, yeah, all of them, really, were really... It was a style that encapsulated an era by vocal style alone, or vocal skill, not skill, but vocal style alone. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was magic.
It was gorgeous,
it is. And to sing with a band is really, man, you're playing in an armchair, and you get you get to play with the band, and that's really...
That is the best thing. I mean, I remember I toured a Broadway musical. And for about 2 years, and the biggest adrenaline rush, I'll tell you, is going out on stage and having an entire orchestra behind you, man.
Yeah, my word.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Well, I got sung with big bands in town, and did functions where it's a big full on black tie, everybody up there. It's so delightful to see you. You're on in 15 minutes. This is your call sheet. Is the band ready? And so, but you get on, and it's like you start something like the song that you played in with 18 piece orchestra and 6 to 10 piece in brass. And man, it swings, and your bum just hums.
And I have been to your shows, and I love, it's just, you could just sit there and let it just wash over you, and it's just so much fun listening to those standards and also the patter and everything like that.
It's just comfort. It's
comfort food. Yeah. For an insane world, trust me. If you're in Melbourne, I know we've. People listen to the show.
You travel.
When are you on next?
We do South Melbourne Claypots on a Friday night, every Friday night, 7:30 till 10.
7:30 till 10.
Yeah, South Melbourne Claypots, which is on the corner of York and Cecil Street.
Can they get a dinner there or something like that?
Oh yeah, there's a restaurant, and like we're a postage stamp in the corner. We have piano, bass, and vocals sometimes, two of us. But it's a beautiful seafood restaurant, it's great. It is seriously great. $1.50 an oyster. Yeah.
You get to work at the casino. That's what I think is really lovely.
I do. I love working at the casino. It's great because just if stage size alone, And, yeah. And you get to wear panel shirts.
And you had some telly gigs on, too. You were on television this week.
Bit of work, yes.
Yeah. This guy's getting all the work, dude. He's just getting all the work.
I'm the only one left.
This is it for me. He's the only one left. still gigging. But, I mean, with the Dean stuff, man, you do it because you love it.
Very true. Very true. But all of the songs really do resonate, and that's why it's so easy just to, you know, keep on going and broaden the repertoire if, you know, you don't want to stay still too long. But it's just making sure there's stuff to do, and there is so much to do. Okay. And it's a lot of fun to, you know, play with.
Dave Carter and the Jazznicks.
And Dean's Martini.
And Dean's Martini will be playing around town in Melbourne. But guys in the United States, if you really want... Yeah, this is the Bill Show, giving you one big recommendation out there, Ambrose. You want to lay back, have yourself a tea or a little something special, sit back and enjoy some cool tunes. Ladies and gentlemen, I suggest you get David Carter and the Jazznicks. That's it. My personal, the personal Bill Show commendation, man.
Well, thanks, man.
I'll send you the money later.
I love you, man. Hey, it's great to have you over here, David. I think I'm going to play some of your music, goddammit.
What have we got, Bill?
I think what you came in on. Well, wave goodbye to the people. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye, everybody.
Welcome to the Bill Show Lounge. We'll be back with another Bill Show with me and Randy next week. See you soon.
I want to hear everybody.